Take your Bible tonight, turn to Daniel chapter 1 and Psalms 137. Daniel chapter 1, Psalms 137. I'm going to preach in kind of one of the saddest chapters in the Bible, in my opinion. And that's Psalms 137. And Daniel chapter 1 gives you a little information about Psalms 137. And Psalms 137 applies to today in Christianity, where we're going through. And it's applied to every generation, but it applies today especially. We see it in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel happened 606 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Israel and took over Israel. And Israel ceased to be a nation at that point until 1948, May the 14th, 1948. And for over 2,000 years, there was no nation of Israel. And at that point, Israel was taken captive and the Jews were taken into Babylon. And Daniel chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand and part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought his vessels in the treasure house of his God." And there at Daniel 606 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came and took over Israel and carried all the Jews captive and carried them into the land of Babylon. And for years they were servants there. And Daniel was a servant there in the land of Babylon. And Psalm 137 tells a little bit about that. And it's one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. And it says this, Psalms 137:1, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof." That's where they get the phrase, the weeping willows. That's where that come out of your Bible. "For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that washed us, they wasted us, required of us myrrh, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And that's what I'm going to preach about a little bit tonight, on how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And you know, the Bible speaks to us. It speaks to me. Everything in it speaks to me. In Psalms 137, I can see America. I can see me. I can see the churches. I can see Pearl Lake. I can see everything in that chapter. And that's a sad chapter there in Psalms 137. I mean, the Jews are carried into Babylon and they're over there in the land. The Bible says they just sat down and wept when they remembered Zion. I want to give you a few things about that chapter. I want to just say, first of all, the first thing I see, it said they were in a strange land. Brother, we're in a strange land right now in America, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, America we once knew, I want to tell you, Tota, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in the Wizard of Oz right now, brethren. I mean, we're in a mess in this country. I mean, we are in a strange, strange land. America, somebody said, it's a land of sex thrills, unpaid bills, pep pills, and when you can't tell the Jack from the Jills, amen. And that's, I mean, brother, I had that poem about 40 years ago, by the way. It's really come to life now, hadn't it, Miss Martha? I mean, brother, we are in a strange land that we live in. Can you imagine if you take somebody, Miss Samantha, and she's probably not old enough to remember this, she might be. But if you could take somebody that's walking around the 1950s or 1960s even, and just transform them, just take a time machine and throw them in 2018, they would think they are in the Twilight Zone, dude. What's going on in this country? Hey, I think I'm in the Twilight Zone half the time. I mean, brother, we are in a strange land just like the Jews were. Lady Gaga. Isn't that a great name? Gaga. Gaga. Yeah, make you gaga, right? She sang the national anthem. "Oh, say to that star-spangled banner yet wave, oh, the land of the free and home of the brave." She sang it. "Oh, does that flag of the gay pride yet wave, or the land of the free and the home of the gay?" She knocked her off the mark, brethren. That's where we're at now, man. I mean, if some of the homosexuals and the perverts, I've said many times, they came out of the closet and all the God's people ran in and shut the door, not coming out. It's, aren't you, brother? Scared to death. breath to come out. We're in a strange land, man. It's a different world we live in. I feel like I'm in the twilight zone sometimes, don't you? I am surprised that the rapture has not happened. I would have thought, Miss Karen, after reading my Bible, I would have thought when we got this far away from God, when we can't tell the difference between a girl and a boy, and gender's fluid now, and it's not assigned at birth, I would have thought surely the goodness of the Lord would have took us out of here before then. But He played a trick on us. He left us in a strange land, didn't He? We're in a strange land, man. I mean, it's crazy out there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they come a falling away first." And I'm going to tell you right now, if you just break your heart, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Bible says as that day approaches, there's going to come a falling away. That falling away is the Greek word apostasia. That's where the word apostasy comes from. We were talking about it the other night. Hey, this thing's not going to get better. It's just going off the ledge a lot quicker. See what's going on? We're in a strange land just like those Jews are. God put us in a strange land. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and get 1 Peter chapter 1. But you know something? You know something? God's truly born again, washed in the blood. Christian, His children, they always live in a strange land, don't we? We're strange anyway to everybody. I'm strange. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hey, this world, thank God, is not my home. Thank God I'm living in a strange land right now. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out in a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance of pain, when he went out, not knowing whether he went. Didn't happen exactly that way. I was thinking about, I'm throwing this in. It's amazing how the Lord takes from the Old Testament, New Testament, and makes it look good. He had to nearly beat that guy to death to do that, didn't he? Yeah. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heir of him the same promise. For he looked for a city who has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm in a strange land, man. I'm looking for a city and a building whose maker is God. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know why we're strangers? Because we're strange. That's where we are. We're strangers because, Brother Zito, we're in a strange land down here. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I want to tell you, I'm in a strange, strange land. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country." Woo! I'm looking for that place where I'll never grow old. I'm looking for that place, brother, where I can lay down my burdens, Brother Ben, and it'll be over. I'm in a strange land right now. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. "For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people." I preached about that. You guys are peculiar, you know. "You're peculiar people, that you show forth praises of Him that have called you out of the darkness His marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but now you're a people of God, which had not attained mercy and now have attained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust." That old word pilgrim, it's a French word. It comes from the French word pèlerine. And what it means is a traveler, a wanderer in a foreign country. Woo-hoo! I mean, you couldn't find a better description of a child of God, Brother Chris. I'm a stranger, and I'm a traveler, and I'm a wonder, and I'm in a foreign country right now. I'm in a strange land right now, brother. Since I got saved, just like those Jews, I see a strange land. Thank God I'm a stranger to this strange land, aren't you? I love that testimony Brother Lucian gave the other night. That was amazing. That was a nugget, Ben. That's a nugget, wasn't it? He got saved that week and he went back in that bar that Wednesday night with his old buddy, started drinking. And the Holy Ghost in him said, hey, it's not where you need to be. He said, man, this is not where I need to be. I need to be back at that little church. You know what? When I got saved, I realized this world's not my home. And just like those Jews, I was in a strange land. God's people in the strange land. I see something else about those Jewish people there in Babylon. Look at Psalms 137. It said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. I see the strange land, but I see where they sat low. They just sat low. They're there in that strange land, Brother Zito. And they just sat down and wept. They just sat down low and gave up and just sat down. And I'm going to tell you, too many of God's people have just sat down. And they've not just sat down, but they sat down low and just wept and just gave up. Hey, it is a strange land. It is a bad day. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. But it's not time to just sit down. It's not time to sit low. It's time to stand up for Jesus. It's time to rise up. But those Jewish people, when they got over there by the rivers of Babylon, it said they just sat down. Too many God's people sitting down right now. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. 2 Kings 7 1. Then Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. They had a big famine and dearth there in Samaria at the time. And God gave Elijah this prophecy. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord holding his hand, the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat it. And there were four lepers, men entering the gate of the and at the gate, and they said one another, why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here to die? They said, if we shall enter the city, then the famine's in the city. We'll die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall in the host of Syria. They'll save us alive. We shall live, and they'll kill us. But what shall we but die? Hey, you know what a lot of God's people are? They're just sitting till they die. Why sit you here till you die? It don't make a whole lot of sense. You know what a lot of God people do, Brother Zito, Brother Ben? I tell you what you do. Here's a whole life. I'm talking God's people too. Here's your whole life. Here's what you do. They get up in the morning, take a shower, brush your teeth, no Bible, nothing. Go out the door, get in the car, they go to work, go to work, go through the thing, get home from work, they go back home, Miss Martha, and they sit down and eat a little bit. And they watch the move too. Their eyes fall out. And they go back to sleep. And the next day, they get back up. They get up, eat a little stuff, miss a man, don't do nothing. Go out the door, get back in the car, go to work, come home. Go back home, get a little bit of it, watch the move too. Go back to sleep. And just go through that till they die. Yeah. They're dead spiritually, and they're just waiting for their body to catch up with them. Yeah. Just like the Jewish people, they just sat down on God. They just sat down. They just sat low. Gave up. Too many churches. You know what they've done? They just sat down. They just sat down. I don't know any church. And I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging about this church. Thank God. Well, I don't know any church in Birmingham, Springville, anywhere around here doing anything. We're the only ones trying. We're just a little old handful. Nobody knows who we are. Well, we get out and try to do something. We put on buttons. We put on bumper stickers. We wear hats. We go to Walmart. If we do hot to street preach, we go in there and bomb those people. Hey, we do yard sales. We do whatever we can. You say what? We just don't want to sit here till we die. We might be in a strange land, brethren, but we don't have to just sit down there and weep. It's time to stand up for the Lord. Get all excited. Get all excited. Go tell somebody about Jesus. That'll pick you up. I love it, man. I love it. I remember years ago, my cousin David. And David's a good guy. He and I roomed together. And normally old David, he's happy-go-lucky, you know. He's excited. Listen, man. He loved the Lord, read his Bible. He is faithful. He's a good guy. Me and him were roommates in Bible school. And he fell in love. Woo! A lot of them guys have fallen in love. Woo-hoo! If you look, if a girl looked at them twice, woo-hoo! They're in love, you know, the way some of them were. And David dated this girl named Penny, and he was in love. Woo-hoo! And Penny dumped him like a rock. Dumped him like a rock. And he had one Saturday, he was around the house, and he is moping, you know. Oh, he is low, man. He is sad low. He is just walking around like sucking this tongue. I couldn't take it anymore. I just said to him, I said, why don't you just quit moping around here and sucking your thumb and go get you some tracks and go out there and lead somebody to the Lord. He looked at me like, so he went over there and grabbed a bunch of tracks off the table and went out the door and bam, slammed the door in our little duplex and left. About 2 hours later, Brother Zito, he came in that door turning flips and turning somersaults, man. He's so excited, Miss Samantha. He said, hey, I went to the mall and led two people to God, man. Hey, man, that'll get you out of the dumps real quick, won't it? You know why a lot of God's people are sitting low? Not doing anything.
Right.
Sitting low. Time to get going. A lot of God's people like you. Some of them come here like you. Walking around low. Just looking around. I read about this guy one time, a true story. When he was a young man in his 20s, Brother Chris, he found a $5 bill on the ground.
Yeah.
Mr. Matthew's walking along and he reached down and there's a $5 bill on the ground. And this is true. In the next 30 years, you know what that guy did? He went around the next 30 years looking for more money. 30 years he went looking. I'll tell you what he found in 30 years. 30 years he found 29,000 buttons, 50,000 cigarettes. I wish he'd have found that bug. 4,000 pens, $89 in change, $120 in bills, 35 pocket combs, 20 empty billfolds, 12 pencils, 8 pens, 600 unmissuals. At the end of 30 years, he developed a degenerated neck and a curved spinal. And he lost all the glory of looking at the sun and enjoying the weather and enjoying the spring because he walked around like this. Too many of God's people that way. That's where the Jews were in Israel. They threw them in Babylon in a strange land. We're in a strange land. But brother, we don't have to sit low. We can keep going. I like Brother Roloff said this. Brother Roloff said, two men looked out from behind the prison bars. One of them saw mud. One of them saw stars. See, you look down, see mud all you want to. And look there, but you look up to God and look up there and see stars. But those Jewish people, they were in a strange land. They sat low. I'll give you something else about them. Look at Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the mist. There was a strange land. They sat low and they were sobbing, looking back. Say, we wept when we remembered Zion. Hey, brother, we just can't keep looking back at the good old days. Because all that'll do is take you out of the race. And that's what the Jews did there. They just sat low and remembered Zion and wept. We meet Christians all the time. All the time, don't we? Knocking on doors. Our church used to do that a long time ago, don't we? We get that all the time. We get people passing out tracts. Hey, man, we used to do that a long time ago. Too many used to's. You say, what are they doing? They're just sobbing and looking back. Nobody wants to do anything anymore. That's what the Jews did. Hey, there's time to remember Zion. And there's time to get up, brethren. And they were just sobbing, looking back. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I talk to them all the time. We see them all the time. I used to pass out tracts. Hey, our church used to do that. Hey, we used to knock on those doors a long time ago, back in the dark ages. You know what they are? They're just sobbing, looking back. just sorry looking back. I don't want to look back. I want to go forward. I heard an illustration one time. I think it's a good one. Like that car out there, you know what it's got? It's got that big old windshield. But it's got a little bitty rear view mirror. You know what? If you want to drive and you want to go forward, you got to keep your eyes focused forward. And that's the same way as a child of God. You can't sob and look back. Paul said, it's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are high, and I press on the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus Christ said this. Put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Billy Sunday said, once a man starts looking back, it's just a matter of time, he'll go back. Too many God's people, like the Jews, we wept when we remembered Zion. They're sobbing, they're looking back. Bible says over there, and I preached a message, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, understanding the times a few weeks ago. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, and the heads of them, and all their brethren were at their commandment. They understood it. I know what's going on. I know. But we can't sob and look back. You know, I got saved. I read all the books on the revivals. I read a book a day when I got saved about all these Dwight L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Torrey and Wilberforth and Wesley and Whitfield and all the great revivals, Brother Zito, Brother Chris. I mean, it was exciting. Man, Dwight L. Moody, I got pictures of him and just thousands and thousands of people. He's up there preaching. John Wesley would preach, it'd be 40,000 people. He'd be street preaching. Hey, but we can't live in the past. We can't just sob and look back. We got to do with what God gave us and deal with it. Just like the Jews, they took them to Babylon and they were sobbing and looked back. You got to quit remembering Zion and sobbing and making excuses. Too many people like that in God's house. Yeah. There's a preacher friend of mine that I've told you a little bit about down the street from me. I like this old boy. He's a little bit older than me. Been pastoring for 40 years at least that I know of, and he's a good man. But he's dead. Dead as that wood over there. Dead. His church, he only has a Sunday morning worship service, that's all. He said the Wednesday night, it dried up years ago. Sunday night dried up years ago. I got a handful of Sunday morning. Got a beautiful church, nice big church, amazing church. He's the one I told you a while back. I was talking to him a few weeks ago in his office on there, and he and I sat down. He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I'm not relevant anymore. And he said, I don't think I'm doing any good anymore. I asked him, I said, well, you guys out passing out, you had guys knocking on doors? He said, oh, we quit that a long time ago. I said, you guys passing out tracks in this church? There's no track racks. You couldn't tell that church from a Dairy Queen. That side end got an ice cream machine in there. They don't have nothing in there like we got out here. You know why he don't feel like he's doing any good? I'll tell you why. Because you're not doing any good. Exactly why he don't feel like it. You know what he's doing? He's sobbing, looking back. All he's telling me about how the church used to be. Hey, we can't change the used to be. All we can do is keep going, and we can't sob and looking back like Israel. I talked to a preacher here a couple of months ago on the phone. Got a church out here, a good friend of mine. Everybody probably know him. He's having a hard time. And he just was down. And I said, brother, you guys are knocking on doors. You ought to be passing out tracts, do anything? He said, well, you know, I've been thinking we ought to start doing something like that. You see, you can't just sob and looking back. Hey, it gets me going. Hey, if you want to come to this church and you think you're going to hear the blues and how down we are, you've come to the wrong church, as long as I got something to do with it. Because, brother, I'm excited about serving God. I love it. I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't wait till I get up and read my Bible. I can't wait till I get to Cosby Lake and pass out tracts. I can't wait to get to the homeless. I can't wait to Friday night. You say, why? I want to do something for God. I don't want to just sit and sob and look back. Too many churches doing that. If I'm going to weep, I'm going to weep and go forward. Psalms 126 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. But you know what those Jewish people did? They were in a strange land. They sat low. They just sat down like a lot of God's people. And they're just sobbing, looking back and saying, "We wept. We wept." Well, we remembered Zion. I'll tell you something else. Look at Psalms chapter 137. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon there they sat down. Yea, we wept and we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. You know what they had? They had a shackled love is what they had. They were carried away captive. You know what the world's done to Christians nowadays? They have shackled our love for Jesus Christ. They shackled. I gave you a report, an article this morning. I got it with me. Here's an assistant football coach in Washington State that they fired because he got on his knees after the game by himself praying and praying to God, thanking God nobody was injured. And they said, quote, "If you talk to God, you're fired." You know what we got? We have a shackled love today. Just like those Jews were carried away captive, they have captive God's people. And brother, you say anything about God, they'll arrest you. They'll disrupt you. Hey, we know about it, don't we? We know. Hey, we had a visit from the mayor. Next time we might get the governor. Next time we might get old Donald might show up out there. Jeff Sessions, you never know. I mean, we didn't get the police. I mean, when the police came in, we were our buddies. We had the big dog come out. The CEO, the mayor, shut us down. Hey, man, they try to shut it down. Oh, you say, why? Carried away captive. Try to shackle our love for the Lord. You know what we do? We trick them, though. We went incognito, see? We play. We buy stuff when we go there, don't we? We shop at Walmart. And when we shop, we just walk around and talk to them about the Lord and witness to them. And it's a lot better knocking on doors. One, it's a whole lot cooler. And you get to talk to a whole lot more people. But you know what happened to these Jews? They were carried away captive. Revelation 2:4 talks about the church in Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because I have left thy first love. And brother, that first love is the Lord Jesus. And you know what happens? You get that first love out of whack, your whole Christian life gets out of whack. And you know what the world has done? It has shackled our love for Jesus Christ. I mean, you can't hardly say His name anymore like it used to be. They forbid you to mention Him. I told you a while back, you know what happened? All the perverts came out of the college closet, went down on the street, started parading, getting their laws and all that, and God's people run in the closet, locked the door, scared to death. What's happened? It's what happened. They got a shackle of love. The world's take them captive. The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 5, it says, "You're the salt of the earth, and the salt hath lost its savor. It's henceforth good for nothing to be trodden under the foot of man." And you know what? A lot of God's people and churches, the world just trodden under the foot of men of us. Say, why? We lost our salt. Then we got a shackle love. Just like those Jewish people over there. They're in a strange land. We're in a strange land, man. I don't know where I'm at half the time anymore. A lot of God's people sat low. Sat low. I tell you, I get around some God's people, they bring me down, brother. I like to be around Brother Earl because he's up. Brother Earl's up. I like people that's up. Sat low. They sat low. They're sobbing, looking back, looking at all the good old days, what they used to do. I'm tired of what they used to do. Let's do something. Thank God this church does. And then they shackle love, tear us away captive. Bible says where the Spirit of Christ is, there's liberty. Brother, we ought to have liberty to do what we want to do and worship God the way we want to do it. And those Jewish people, were they taken into strange land? Turn to Psalms 137. And this is probably the saddest part of Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, and we wept, and we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know what's wrong? You know what they wanted? They wanted a song. You know what the world wants? They want us to sing a song. They do. They just said they required of us, hey guys, you got something, show us what you got. That's what the world's saying to us. Hey, you got some real hot rod, show me what you got. Show it to me. That's what they're saying. Hey, you guys got the song of Zion? Hey, give us one of those songs. Couldn't sing it, Brother Zito. They took and they hang their harps over there on those weeping willows. Too many God's people have taken their harps, hang them over there on those willows. You know what they done? They got a song lost. They've lost their song. Turn to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40, some of the greatest verses in the Bible. Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. This is one of the signs you've been saved right here. Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He cried unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I mean, one of the first things God does when you get saved, he puts that new song in you. Brother, and that thing, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And too many of God's people have lost their song. And I think one of the saddest things in the world is when a child of God loses that song. There's some in this church that's lost that song. There's some I know that's come to this church, some they have lost that song. They have been out of church for 30 years. And they'll come a while and they go. You say, what happened? There's no song left. They've lost their song. Some of us talking about the other night, how much we love to come to church, man. I can't wait to get here. I love it. I love the table. I love the pews. I love the people. I love that little old frog back there making the noise. I love it. You say, why? I got a new song. See, the night I got saved, man, on Wednesday night, that Sunday, I was at Calvary Baptist Church in England, in Ensley over there. You know what a lot of God's people's done? They've lost their song. You know what that song is? That song, that joy that God puts in you. That's that joy and that testimony and that walk that He puts in you. I talked to Christians. I talked to a man the other day, a few while back. He was crying. He said, Brother Terry, I've lost my song. I've lost my song. And I'm going to tell you, when you lose it, boy, it's hard to get back. I've only seen a few people here and there that ever get that song back. There's no joy in their Christian life. There's no life in their Christian life. There's no joy in the Bible. They just go through the motions. They've lost their song. You know, the world's looking for that song. They're looking for it. They say when they're bobbing and babbling, they said, give us a song. They required of us a song. Hey, they could have been a testimony to God. Right. But they didn't do it. They went over and took their hearts and put them on those willows song. So how in the world can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Hey, I can sing it and I can't even sing. I can sing it. You say, why? I got a song. I've had it for 43 years. 43 years, Brother Bunk. Hadn't seen in a long time when he came here one day and saw me. And I was excited. I was excited when Brother Cooper preached. I was excited about it. It doesn't just matter if I'm preaching. Hey, Brother Bunk said, how in the world have you stayed so excited? Brother Bunk, I never lost my song. It's still there. I got a new song. Too many Christians have lost their song. Brother Cooper didn't lose his song when he was here. He was saved a long time before he been humble. He's excited about God. Charlie Andrews over there, I've known him ever since I got saved. He's still got that song. Brother Earl's got that song. Yeah. Too many God's people, they lay that harp. Brother, when you lose that song, I think it's one of the saddest things in the world. You can see it all over them. No joy. They don't enjoy church. They don't enjoy fellowship with God's people. They don't enjoy it. years ago, when Evangeline Booth was in the Salvation Army, you know, and they'd bring them in. She'd go in these saloons and cat houses and things. That's where they'd go. Man, they were amazing bunch. And they'd go in there, and some of the guys would mock them. They'd say, "Preach, preach," you know. And she'd say, "Oh, I can't preach." But she said, "I can sing." And she'd stand up there and give them the Lord's song in a strange land. See, now a few weeks ago, Derek had homeless. I tell you, I got one of the biggest blessings I probably of any music I've ever heard or been around, brother. That was probably the biggest blessing I've ever gotten in 43 years. And I heard the Marshall family and the Rochester family, all the great Christopher Parker, the greatest guitarist in the world. I heard them all. But boy, a few weeks ago, down there at that homeless, when that old storm blew through, and that old stench blew through Miss Carol, and that old storm and that breeze and all that stuff, and Brother Chris and Miss Jana got out there in that storm, and that storm blowing Miss Jana's hair all over the place, and they're getting wet, and that stench is coming through, and they're sitting out there to a bunch of homeless folks singing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You know what they were doing? They were giving the Lord song in a strange land, see. We don't have to hang it up just because we're in a strange land. You know why they did it? They hadn't lost their song. They hadn't lost their song. I've seen too many preachers, too many Christians lose their song. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'll be through in a minute. Acts chapter 16. Miss Samantha, she wasn't here this morning, so I got to give her enough. Acts chapter 16. Give you just a few more things. Acts chapter 16. I don't know who. Here's what I got. Here's what all the beeping's about. Hustle Castle Fantasy Kit. That's what I'm getting over here. A text for that. And it's causing all that trouble. Unbelievable. And I can't hardly get it to quit. It just keeps beeping me. Acts chapter 16. Here's Paul and Silas thrown over there in jail over there in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 16, verse 22, "And the multitude arose together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison," that's death prison, "and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God." You say, "Why?" Like that frog that had a new song, amen. I'm getting used to that frog after a while. I'm going to... Whatever it is. What's that? I don't know. We got a lot he can eat in here, probably. We go back here and the cracker's gone. We'll know who got him. He hadn't lost his song, has he, Miss Liz? You know, that's a good message. I'm not going to get on that, but you listen to the animals sometime. They got a song, you know it? You ever heard a sad animal? You ever seen a sad dog? Even when we leave our dog, she kind of mopes around, but she's still got a smile. It's amazing. Hey, you out there, them cows, they're knowing they're about to get slaughtered, they still happy. They're happy. God's got something. You know what we need? We need to keep our song. Keep our song. I can give you some more. Let me give you a close with this here tonight. One of my favorite little illustrations, things God gives you every once in a while, occurred on the America's Got Talent. I didn't see it at the time, but I saw it on the internet. It was that little girl. She's 5 years old. Remember? Her name was Heavenly Joy Jerkins. Little black girl, of course. And she got on there and she sang and did a little tap dancing. And she got through, and Howard Stern said to her, he said, "You know what? I think Shirley Temple's living inside you." And she said, "Not Shirley Temple, but Jesus." You know what that little girl had? She had a song, see? Who's living in you today? Amen. Who's living in you? Amen. Talked about over there, they laid their harps. Laid them down. Friend, don't lay your harps down. Don't lay your harps down. Don't settle low. Don't sob looking back. Keep going. Keep going. And don't lose that song. Don't lose that song. I'm going to tell you, lose that song, friend, you lose a lot. That old one song says, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I'm with thee. Peace be still. All ebbs, life, and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my ever longing. And he keeps me singing as I go." Don't let Babylon take your song. Because they take your song, they'll take your testimony. That's connected to your testimony. I want to keep that song. Keep that song. Father, we pray your blessing now upon the message tonight, Lord. Pray your blessing upon the service today, all that went on, God, the sin, everything, Lord. Just pray your blessing upon it, God. And Lord, we pray your blessing now upon the week coming up. And help us, Father, to keep that song a heavy, Lord. Help us, Lord God, not to ever lose that song, never lose that shackle of love. Don't let the world take it, God. Help us, Lord, as we go out this week, whatever we might be going. Help us to be looking for that soul that's near as hell, God. Help us to be faithful, telling folks about you, Lord. And Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for this little church. We're not many. We're just a handful, God. But we're trying to do something, God. We're trying to make a difference, Lord. And you know it, God. We know we're trying. Lord, you give us more things to try. We'll give it a shot, Lord. We want to do something for you, Lord. And Lord, we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.